When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back to the fan. Lori Rubenson here with you at 888-808-1019. And I know it feels really hot outside and like we're right in the middle of summer, but here we are. And this week, NFL training camps open up. And with that, we count down into fantasy football drafts and, preseason games. And before we know it, the start of NFL season upon us. To talk about training camps, preseason, hard knocks, all that kind of stuff, Giants, Jets, we bring in Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
What's up, Glory? How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. I noticed you wrote a story that was an AFC East preview and, for the New York Post. And when you look at the offseason big picture in the AFC AFC East and all the moves that have been made, who would you pick right now as the favorite in the AFC East? How is the balance of power shifted?
I would pick the Jets. I know. I would pick the Jets. Look, I think the Dolphins are still knocking on the door. They were a playoff team last year. We don't know what Tua's contract is going to be and how that's going to hang over the season. He seems very frustrated, unlike, say, Jordan Love or Dak Prescott seems to be handling it a little more in stride. And the Bills, I think, have taken a major step back. I think the Bills are where the Bengals might be next year, or where some of these teams look. What makes Patrick Mahomes great is he was great originally, and then they started taking pieces away, right? Tyrann Mathieu left the defense. Tyreek Hill left the offense. And he just picked up the slack and made all these average players better. And we're going to find out right now if Josh Allen can do that, because he couldn't do it. He couldn't get over the Mahomes hump when he had a great team. And now he's going to be playing with a weakened secondary, with no Stephon Diggs, with essentially all new receivers. It's a lot to ask of Josh Allen. So I see the Bills taking a step back, and the Aaron Rodgers, as every sentence does, if healthy and if not playing like a 40-year-old quarterback, if he returns to be a top 10 quarterback, not even a four-time MVP, I think it's the Jets division to lose.
With, you know, and of course that is where every Jets discussion starts, is with Aaron Rodgers. With that, when you talk to, I know you do talk to players, coaches, front office personnel around the league. As you talk to people, how big a deal or how surprised were people that Aaron Rodgers, you know, with the importance of him to this team, starting quarterback, that he was not here for mandatory minicamp? Was that a big deal around the league with others and other teams, or is that just something that, you know, it's off season that we were making into a bigger deal here in New York?
I think two different questions there. Were they surprised? No. Was it a big deal? Yes. Like, quarterbacks don't miss mandatory minicamps, right? Like, in reality, you do the same work in OTAs as you do in mandatory minicamps. So he went to the 10 OTAs. He didn't go to the two mandatory minicamps. If I told you he went to the two mandatory minicamp practices and skipped the 10 OTAs, people probably would have been happy, but he would have got 8 days less of practice. So in reality, in his mind, he was here more often than he would have been. He just skipped the quote-unquote mandatory one. So I get that defense. The idea is optics. It doesn't look good when your quarterback skips anything that's mandatory. But no, people aren't surprised. He beats to his own drum. He's always done that. He does what, you know, he thinks is best for him and for the team, and that's what he thought was best, so that's what he did, and no one's going to tell him no. No one told him no in Green Bay, and no one's going to tell him no in New York.
Speaking of people who could potentially tell him no, that does lead us to the coaching staff. Robert Saleh, the head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator, and with that, the article that came out in The Athletic at the end of last season with all of the behind-the-scenes issues that the Jets were having, what are you looking for, if anything? What are you looking to see from Robert Saleh and Nathaniel Hackett as you attend some of these Jets preseason practices or interview people and look at the team in preseason?
Yeah, I don't know how much we can glean from a coaching staff during preseason. But to your point, Lori, I think where you're getting it is, if there's something besides Aaron Rodgers' health which could take down the Jets, it's bad coaching, right? It's Nathaniel Hackett being not the play caller we all expect, and Aaron Rodgers not being able to cover his, I guess Nathaniel Hackett being the play caller we all expect, and Aaron Rodgers not being able to cover his warts the way he did in Green Bay. It's Robert Saleh, who players love. You can't get a player to say anything bad about Robert Saleh, and we know he's a great defensive mind, but how is he going to do in high-pressure close games with, you know, the decisions that coaches get basically extensions are fired on, is like, when to punt versus when to go for it, how to use your timeouts in the fourth quarter of a close game. How's he going to do with all those things? He's been here 4 years and no one knows, because they're always playing low pressure games. Basically, they're always chasing their tail to start the season. If the Jets are 5-1 and playing in one of these primetime games and it's 17-17 and your coach can make the difference for you, what's he going to do? So I don't know that we'll get any of that out of training camp. I mean, we saw on Hard Knocks last year, like, he'll give the fiery speech in the meeting. He'll give the fiery speech on the field. His play, he'll run up and chest bump Quinnen Williams after he tags Rodgers for a sack. But, like, none of that really matters in training camp or preseason practices. You can't evaluate a coach or a play caller until the games start to count for real.
If you're the Jets, are you at all concerned that Mike Williams is still recovering from his injury from last season, and it sounds like may even miss a game the beginning of this season? You know, given the injury history, are you concerned at all?
Yeah, I mean, but you can't be surprised by it. Like, you signed Mike Williams, you knew he was hurt, he has an injury history. You didn't sign him ever. If you signed him expecting him to play 17 games, that was silly on your part. Like, whether he misses games at the start, or he misses games in the beginning, or misses games like later in the season, he is not a 17-game-a-year type guy. Tyron Smith, their left tackle, isn't a 17-game-a-year guy. The Jets signed their free agents expecting to be in the playoffs and expecting that whoever, you know, however they get there, those guys are going to be difference makers. William Smith, Reddick in January games. So, like, if they miss some September games, so be it. I don't think they can be overly surprised. Mike Williams is a veteran. He'll be able to, once he's healthy, he'll be able to get up to speed quickly. But yeah, I mean, look, they start with the 49ers. Really tough game. After that, they'll be the favorites, I think. And I want to say it's 11 of their first 14 games. So yes, they could certainly get away for a couple weeks without Williams, but they don't want to rely too much on Alan Lazard and Malachi Corley. So Williams better hurry back. And best way to do that is not to push it early in training camp and just round into gear in late August.
As I look at the Jets' depth chart, I mean, you know, there are the things, as you mentioned, whether it's coaching, whether it's Aaron Rodgers, an injury or off the field nonsense or distractions, things that could happen. But when I look at the Jets' depth chart, they, you know, it is a really good and deep football team. Usually when we hit training camp, we talk about position battles. Are there position battles here or anything, you know, kind of a particular position you're going to have your eye on for the Jets for training camp?
Well, the position I'll have my eye on for sure is the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Because the last 2 years for the Jets, the starting offensive line has taken basically no snaps together all summer. And then Saleh has tried to say, like, oh, well, you know, the guys gel together, you know, as the season goes.
I remember, I think, even you and I having that conversation probably a year ago.
Yeah, I mean, that it's nonsense, right? We know from the Giants years when they were good, like the five guys have to think as one. We mm-hmm. know how this works, yep. Right? So like if Tyron Smith is missing practices, if Morgan Moses is missing practices, because, you know, he's coming off off-season surgery, if Elijah Vera Tucker is coming off, and if he's not playing, like, these five guys need to take snaps together. Not like one guy has one day off, one guy has the next day off. No, the five guys together. If you want to give a bunch of them the same day off and let the backup work as the ones, that's fine. But those five guys need to be out there together. So it's not necessarily a position battle, although it would be interesting to see if Olu Fashanu, the first-round pick, is strictly the backup left tackle, or does he have a chance to win the starting right tackle job over Morgan Moses? Can he be a swing tackle? Can he win that job? That'd be interesting. And then I guess maybe what they end up doing at safety, if it's Chuck Clark's job, filling Jordan Whitehead's shoes, that would be interesting. But like you said, Lloyd, it's not in the past, the Jets have had kind of a top-heavy roster, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They have eight guys who I think are either first-team All-Pro candidates this year who have been first-team All-Pros within the last 2 years, not 10 years. Tyron Smith was a second-team All-Pro last year. Yep. So first or second-team All-Pros the last 2 years or this year, they have eight guys. Only the Ravens have that much top-end talent. But then the roster's deep, too. It's not just top-heavy like it used to be. If I did a roster with you, there's probably 42 to 45 spots locked up. There's not a lot of jobs to be won on the Jets.
Yeah, and even, I think as Giants fans know, and certainly as we saw in Hard Knocks, even now with Tyrod Taylor as the backup quarterback, look, they're not going to the Super Bowl winning a Super Bowl, I don't think, unless they have Aaron Rodgers playing, as you said, as a top 10 quarterback. But this roster is so good and so deep that as long as the offensive line holds up respectably, Tyrod Taylor's going to win you ball games with this roster. If Aaron Rodgers had to miss four games, you're not cooked. This roster is so good.
No, Tyrod will go 2-2 if he has to. He'll throw for 303 touchdowns one game, and he'll throw three picks and get injured the next game.
Likely so. All right, talking about Ryan Dunleavy about NFL training camps and opening up this week. And all right, so if the Jets are deep and pretty set, and it's even hard to find a position battle. Well, let me turn to the Giants. And let's start with, what are the top things you will be looking for at Giants training camp?
Well, week one is going to be dominated by Daniel Jones, right? Mm-hmm. He'll probably talk to us on Wednesday. Is he fully medically cleared? He told our Pete Body today and some other reporters that he expects to be fully medically cleared. That'll be significant on Wednesday. Then when they're in pads for the first time a couple days in practice, does he take 11 on 11 snaps? He didn't do that in the spring. Drew Lock took all of those. If he is taking 11 on 11 snaps, can he run? Like, I'm not talking about, like, move around in the pocket. Like, can he take off and run? Because we know that's the only way he's a above-average quarterback, is if he can use his legs. So his recovery from the torn Achilles, torn ACL, which he says has gone smooth with no setbacks, will dominate the first week. And then really big picture is a couple of guys for me. It's right tackle Evan Neal. Is he a salvageable player, or are they going to jam him down our throats as first-round pick who gets too many chances that he doesn't deserve? And on the other side of the ball, former third-round pick Cordell Flott is the number two corner right now. Is he going to win that job and earn it, or is he going to? Too often in the past, the Giants, and this predates Shane and Dable, have handed jobs to guys who didn't earn them in training camp, and that has to stop.
All right. You started with Daniel Jones, and one of my listeners, followers, had asked this question. If Daniel Jones, Jimmy wants to know, if Daniel Jones starts poorly when the season begins, do you think there comes a point where they would bench him because of his injury guarantees, because they worry about the contract if they, you know, were wanting to move on?
Very smart fan. Yes, I do think that will come into play at some point. Now, I don't think it'll come into play as early as some fans might want it to. Like, if they're 1-2 or something like that, or 1-3, I don't think we're talking about that. But yeah, Daniel Jones is going to be playing for a 3-6 Giants team in November. I think the injury guarantee very much comes into play then. And that is certainly on the list of questions. Shane speaks to the media on Wednesday. I'll be surprised if that's not one of the first five questions he gets asked. And he'll dance around it. It's a hypothetical for the time being. But, yeah, that is a theme of the Giants season is, can they stay competitive long enough that Daniel Jones keeps his starting job and they don't go to Drew Lock? Because for anybody who doesn't understand, they can get out of Daniel Jones's contract after this season for about $22 million dead cap. That number changes if Daniel Jones is injured and can't pass the physical after the season.
Ryan, it seems like it's been over a decade and three GMs that have been trying to build an effective Giants offensive line. And you mentioned Evan Neal, and you know, everybody's taking a shot at this, at trying to do this. What did you think of the approach the Giants took in the offseason with the offensive line and the players they brought in, which was, I would describe as, I thought they brought in good players, smart, you know, they brought in good players, but it also was a less of a shopping at the highest end and a little bit of a buying in bulk.
Yes, I thought they went with quantity maybe over high quality. As you saw on Hard Knocks, I thought one of the most interesting parts, mostly because it was something I didn't know. Like, I knew most of the Saquon Barkley stuff everybody's buzzing about, is that they basically had to pick between trying to get Robert Hunt, the guard who left the Dolphins for the Panthers, at $20 million a year, or they got John Runyon and Jermaine Illuminor, both of them at $17 million a year combined. So they ended up with two guys instead of one. Now, they got to hope that those two guys can outplay that one guy. But, no, that's what they did. I thought it was the right approach to go for veteran guards. I'm tired of them putting all their resources into rookies and then not being able to develop them. They went after guys they know can do it. So I thought that was the right move. I thought guard was the right move. I don't know that having an unchallenged Evan Neal start at right tackle and to start training camp is the right move. And if somebody out there is going to tell me, well, his challenger is Jermaine Illuminor, then, well, he's practiced all spring at left guard.
He's coming into training camp as left guard. And if he's your backup right tackle, well, then now you're screwing up right tackle by putting a guy there who didn't play there all, even though that's his best position, didn't practice there all spring and summer. And then you're moving a new guy into the starting lineup at left guard. And as we just talked about with the Jets, you want your five starters to practice together all summer. So if Illuminor is a right tackle, to me, they should be battling for right tackle every day in training camp, not having him at left guard and him at right tackle and just crossing your fingers that Neal doesn't fail again.
Why would the Giants take that approach potentially of not offering up competition for Neal? Is it something from what you've observed or of either Neal or Joe Shane in the front office that they are, you know, what have you seen out of Evan Neal and his mental makeup, his mental toughness, that they seem so timid to offer competition there?
I've seen nothing out of Evan Neal for 2 years. So, I mean, I think they're doing a little bit of what every regime for every team does, which is bend over backwards for a first round pick to so that you can prove that you made the right choice. And then they're banking on Carmen Brasillo being a massive offensive line coach upgrade who can get through to Evan Neal, both technical-wise and mindset-wise. And then they're banking on Jermaine Illuminor, who is a Brasillo favorite, who he's worked with in New England and with the Raiders, to be able to seamlessly move from left guard to right tackle if needed. I think if you ask the Giants, they would say, we did challenge him. We do have a guy. He's just not the backup right tackle. He's the starting left guard. But he is our challenger to Evan Neal. I think that's what they would tell you. I just don't know that I love the approach of moving one starter to another side if a right tackle failed. But to your bigger point, Lori, I think they did what you said a question ago. What did they do in offense? On offense, they got durable guys and smart guys. Talking to people in the building, that's what they wanted. It's high end. What you and I see is like, oh, are these star guys? Are they quality guys? Are they quantity guys? They're smart and they're durable, and that's really what they wanted.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy about the Giants, and you're kind of getting at this with the right tackle, and if the competition for right tackle is the starting guard who gets no reps at right tackle. Well, that reminds me of what they did with Josh Azudu last year, where I think, you know, when they needed a left tackle when Andrew Thomas got hurt early last season, it seemed to me like Josh Azudu was one of the last people to learn that he was the backup swing tackle. He seemed as surprised as all the rest of us because he hadn't taken a rep there. And you wrote an article a few days ago, I think it's called, I have it up here for the New York Post, it's, you know, Giants can't afford to repeat this mistake during training camp. I think the gist of it is that sometimes it has felt like whether it's there's no punt returner on the roster. Our eyes tell us this, but for some reason there's like magical thinking and hope that Eric Gray is a punt returner. Like, it just feels like the Giants have done moves like the Azudu move or the Eric Gray move or whatever. So I guess just expand on that point and what you need to see from the Giants this training camp.
What I need to see is the Giants self-scout with their eyes. And not with their hearts and not with their minds and not with their investment where we have the most money invested. They need to start with their best players, not with me standing on the sideline talking to the other five or six reporters there every day and be like, are they really going to start Antonio Hamilton at corner? How come he gets beat every day? Like, that's going to be a problem against C.D. Lamb, is it not? And then he's benched in the second half of the season over. Are they really going to start Eric Flowers for the fourth straight year at right tackle? And then he's benched week three. Like, are they really going to have Eric Gray catch punts? He can't catch punts in practice.
Right.
And then he's benched week six. Like, they can't afford to do that because there are two most winnable games. I think the only two games they're favored in the first half of the season are the first two games of the season. So, like, the Giants have this habit of starting 0-2 and then making lineup changes and, like, having to chase their tail. They can't afford to do that. They need to come out of the first 2 weeks of the season no worse than 1-on-1. And the best way to do that is to have the best possible lineup and not force feed the Evan Neals or the Cordell Floss or whoever it is who's not the best player just based on the, oh, let's just give him a chance. Remember Kenny Golladay a couple years ago played 50 snaps week one and then played 2 snaps week 2. And I don't know if he played 50 the rest of the season combined. To me, like, you didn't need that extra week to determine he couldn't get separation. You could have made that decision in training camp. And that's the same kind of thing. Like, if Evan Neal can block in training camp, then he should be the number one starter. But if he can't block Kamone Fox in training camp, he isn't magically going to be able to block Jonathan Greenard in week one.
I was going to ask you the question, what's the position battle you'll most have your eye on? But, I mean, I think in some ways we'd like it to be right tackle. It won't be. But that I was thinking in terms of, you know, is it number two cornerback, or do you just think that the Giants will be trying not to have position battles?
Well, I mean, again, I think they should probably have, they shouldn't just hand the job to Cordell Flott. I don't know who the other option is. Like,
Nick McLeod? I don't know.
Nick McLeod, Trey Herndon, Darnay Holmes. Like, I guess it could be one of those guys, but I think they're going to give Cordell Flott every chance and then some to win the job. I'm curious to see how the backup running back depth chart shakes out. Like, they have Devin Singletary, but Devin Singletary's never been a workhorse, you know, 200 and something carry back. Well, then who's going to split the load with them? They have 4 backups. Those 4 backups have 13 career carries combined. So, like, who is the number two runner? It might be Eric Gray, the guy we were just talking about who got benched as a rookie punt returner last year. I think that's interesting to see how that shakes out. Who lines up on the defensive line next to Dexter Lawrence and the old Leonard Williams thought is interesting. Oh, here's the position battle. Safety next to Jason Pinnock. Everybody assumes rookie second round pick Tyler Newbin is just going to slot in based on his draft status. He was not the starter in the spring. It was Dane Belton, who played, you know, a little bit and was kind of a ball hawk his first 2 years. He'll probably play 3 safeties most of the time anyway. That's a very important position in new coordinator Shane Bowen's system. But if it is 2 safeties, don't just assume it's Newbin. Belton could win that job.
All right, and then finally, before I let you go, you referenced it before, Hard Knocks obviously featuring the Giants and their offseason. And have you had a chance to, I don't know, hear from whether it's players, coaches, front office, others around the league, impressions of Joe Shane in the front office from Hard Knocks and also Giants owner John Mara? How are people perceiving the Giants coming out of Hard Knocks?
Around the league, I think it's probably a mixed bag, more towards favorable for both of them or towards not surprised. I know fans have been beating them up on Twitter. I don't think that that's necessarily fair. I think if you see, yes, John Mara said that Saquon's our most popular player. Well, big surprise. He's an owner, and that's not about making money or selling jerseys. That's about he's very aware of what he thinks his fan base wants. He looks out from his owner suites and he sees a lot of 26 jerseys. That this guy's our most popular player. This is who the fans want on our team. So, like, I think that's where that comes from. And in the end of the day, he let Joe Shane make the final decision. Joe Shane very clearly was the one or maybe two of the top executives who didn't want to bring Saquon Barkley back. Other people in the building did. He let Joe Shane do it. What have people criticized John Mara about for 5 years? Meddling and making football decisions? Well, the biggest football decision the Giants have made in probably 2 or 3 years, John Mara voiced his opinion and then let his GM go against him. So I don't think that's a bad thing for John Mara. I think he probably, if you objectively look at it, comes off as like, okay, he voiced his opinion, but he's hands off at the end. And Joe Shane comes off, I think, as a guy with very strong convictions and very smart processes. The results have not been good, but the processes have been good. And that's what people around the league really look at. It's like, does he think like a smart GM? Because eventually you'll get them right if you do. His batting average hasn't been good, but he has good processes for a very long time. And yes, I'm talking about Dave Gettleman. The Giants had illogical processes. They have fixed those.
Talking to Ryan Dunleavy from the New York Post. Ryan, always appreciate the time. Things about to get very busy for you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
All right.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.